On this episode of This Week in YouTube, we look at YouTube's changed content ID system. What does it mean for you? What does it mean for creators? We also look back at my YouTube channel and see what worked in getting to my goals this year. And also a little bit of news that may affect this show. Maybe. A tiny bit. All coming up next on This Week in YouTube.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in YouTube is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is This Week in YouTube, episode 35, recorded December 16th, 2013. This video is no longer available. This episode of This Week in YouTube is brought to you by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Visit HuluPlus.com/TWIYT to start your free two-week trial. That's HuluPlus.com/TWIYT. Hello and welcome to This Week in YouTube. I'm Chad Johnson. This is a show for you, the creator, to help you wrestle through this YouTube news and anything that's going on in the creator world of making online video. Lamar Wilson, how are you doing?
Hey, you caught me looking down. I'm doing good. Well,
you sound okay. Like there's something.
I know there's been very many of these episodes where people are like, dude, you should get that checked out.
What I think is, you have like a Sunday issue. You're allergic to Sunday, and on Monday you're still recovering.
I strained a voice over the weekend. Lots of partying. Mm-hmm. I had lots of girls this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, 2,000.
You had lots of girls.
I was at an event with like 2,000 plus teenage girls screaming, and I somehow found myself on the stage performing some comedy, and I was yelling and screaming, and it removed my voice. So I'm doing some natural remedies. It'll be healed by.
Where were you at?
It was a place called DigiFest, LA.
DigiFest.
It was in the Hollywood Palladium, I believe that was the place.
It was DigiFest. Yeah, sounds like a Digimon convention.
It does. It really. I've always thought of that.
DigiFest, digital festival.
So what it is, they had Disney stars there, X Factor contestants who, you know, got eliminated, YouTube stars, singing stars, and then me. Like, why am I here? It is completely for teenage girls to scream at everybody going out there. So I go out there with two other older guys, and they're like, huh?
They're like, wait.
Are you on the janitors?
Yeah.
Cleaned it off. Are you cleaning up?
Like, oh, good, the manager's here. Hey, so we need some water in our green room, and
exactly. I was thought of to be security the whole day.
Oh man, but it looks like it was a ton of fun.
It was a ton of fun. I was there almost 10, 11 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. So my voice was gone.
So that's you left your voice there, and you haven't found it since then.
Oh yeah.
Nah, gotcha. So before we start the show, we do have a little bit of news that we need to let you guys know about. This Week in YouTube will be taking a break for an undetermined amount of time after this episode. What's going on, Lamar?
Wait, I didn't get this memo. I found it.
Oh, yeah. I sent you that email. You just got it now? Print it?
I print all of my emails.
Good.
So,
nice.
So
nice.
This is 1997, guys.
Right.
So what basically transpired is I relayed to Lisa, who is the CEO, that, you know, a couple weeks ago, that my schedule in 2014, after I laid it out, is so hectic that I had to cut some things short. So I said I will unfortunately have to step down as host. I really wanted the show to continue. Chad is amazing.
Well, thanks.
Seriously, you are. The whole team is amazing. And I wanted to continue. Twit made the decision to give it a break so they could decide if they want to retool the show.
Right.
If they want to, you know, cancel it altogether.
Right.
Or whatever. So that was a Twit decision. So don't blame me for the show. but yeah, it just became a little bit too much on my plate, and I don't want to go in doing a half blank job on anything. So
right, you want to bring focus to whatever you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we are at the moment, at the end of 2013, there's so much going on. We're all rushing to the end of the year that we're going to put the show on a hiatus. We may be retooling it in the future and figuring out what the show should be, where it will go, and what it will do. So keep your iTunes and YouTubes still subscribed, and we'll see what happens in the future, basically. Anything that you're allowed to talk about that you're going to work on in the future yet? Or is it all still under wraps?
I feel like it would be a little uncomfortable saying, hey, I'm leaving this. I'm starting this, guys.
Right.
So, my channel, I can tell you that my channel on YouTube, that's pretty public. I'm going to be increasing the amount of time and quality on that. So the audience wanted the comedic tech news show back. I thought about it. I talked to my manager, and I talked to people I work with, and we found a format that will work, that would not stress me out, and that would give audience what they wanted and be of value. So let's say I'll starting December 30th, I'll be going daily on my channel, which is good timing. Wow. After that, I'll be a CS for a full week reporting. So. But it'll be different than any other tech show, but very, very similar. I mean, if you've watched me for the last few years, very similar concept. And to be honest, this isn't the reason. Daily is actually pretty easy because it's no more than 2 to 3 production hours a day. Mm-hmm. to get everything up. I get it up pretty fast. And I'm like, there's a lot of time still left. So I don't think doing more on my channel is the reason. There's other... there's other things I've been asked to do.
Yeah. And it's funny because my channel, I was trying to do for the past 3 or 4 weeks a day, a video a day. And I have had to fall back. I'm not doing that anymore. Finding time to really dedicate to projects is probably the hardest part of this job.
It is.
Yeah. It's very, very, very difficult.
Yeah. One thing I can say that's pending, that's part of it, is I was asked, I can't say which one, but I was actually asked by a university to do an online class, teach an online class about media and YouTube. And so that's going to be a pretty strenuous thing I'll be adding.
Oh, cool. So you'll be like an actual professor.
Kind of going back to teaching a little bit. I was a little reluctant, but and it's not for the money. Trust me.
Right.
It is not for the money.
Right.
They don't pay anything, but. It was an interesting opportunity, so I'll give more information about that in the future on my social networks. And 2014 is going to be busy, but I think it may be the year I finally get my act together.
Mm-hmm.
I've been so everywhere on YouTube and other places, and I'm finally getting myself focused.
Well, we have a lot to talk about still coming up in this episode. The monetization, has it changed? What does it mean for affiliate partners of the big multi-channel networks? I'm going to let you know the last part of my goal setting for the year of 2013 and a little bit more. So that is all still to come. But first, let's talk about Hulu Plus. You know Hulu.com. It's the place where you can find TV shows, movies, all sorts of stuff. I have the app right here. They have Android and iPhone apps. Right now, I am in the TV genres, so you can see there's all sorts of stuff from drama, comedy, action, anime, celebrity gossip, reality shows, travel, documentaries, all sorts of stuff for you to enjoy on Hulu Plus. We've got American Dad, and they even have things like trailers, extended trailers, which is one of the things that I love. It's a wonderful app. It's easy to use, runs fantastic on my Android phone here. So Hulu Plus will let you watch thousands of hit TV shows and movies in your living room or on the go. Think about you know, using Hulu on your smartphone, your tablet, or your big TV in your bedroom or in your living room. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live. You can watch shows like Shark Tank, Family Guy. There's Family Guy up there, Modern Family, South Park, those sorts of shows. And on certain shows, you can watch every episode, like Lost, Doctor Who, Community, and Star Trek here. There's tons and tons of stuff. Vampire Diaries. I know Eileen Rivera, a good friend of mine, was really into Vampire Diaries. The Last Man Standing, Glee. I mean, all sorts of stuff is in Hulu Plus. You can also check out exclusive content, including Hulu originals like The Wrong Man's or Behind the Mask, which is a fun docuseries that looks at the inside world of sports mascots in Behind the Mask. This only costs $7.99 a month, so you can catch up on all of the current shows or binge on your old favorites or catch a great movie. Stream as many TV shows or movies as you want, whenever you want. There's no time limit or streaming limit on you. If you want to try this out for yourself, go ahead and try it out for free for 2 weeks. Just use the URL huluplus.com/TWIYT. That's a special URL for you. Remember, that's Hulu Plus, not just Hulu.com, but huluplus.com/TWIYT to check out that exclusive 2-week trial. That's an extra week of programming. So use that URL, huluplus.com/TWIYT. And we thank Hulu Plus for their support of Twit, and we hope that you enjoy watching instantly with Hulu Plus in the future. So, Lamar, something's gone down in YouTube land, which I have heard nonstop about this past week.
Not only have I heard nonstop, I was been yelled at for not, as if I'm a presidential candidate or I'm somebody to
come. Why haven't you covered the breaking news?
Yeah, why haven't I made a press release or something about it? Like, because
really, all you gave us was a tweet. That's ridiculous. Get out of here. You're not worth anything.
So, okay, basically, I guess to keep this where people understand it, YouTube always changes their algorithms and things to just because. And, you know, they're under pressure from music industry, movie industry, TV industry to stop, people.
Copyright.
Piracy, people uploading.
Copyright claims. And so we're talking about the copyright ID claim system here with YouTube that's been changing.
Yeah. So what they did is they made a more robust one. And by robust, it means it will literally grab anything that remotely matches and just either pull it down or give it a warning, or I don't even know if it was monetizing it instead and just leaving it up. But what happened is the gaming community has a lot of, well, I mean, the games themselves are played and they're not theirs, and the games have music in them,
right?
And all these different companies were flagging all these gamers' content who make a living off YouTube, and maybe you could tell more about it because
so far from what I've known, there's almost two things that kind of hit around the exact same time. Right. This stronger and better content ID system, which, like, let's say you're playing through a game which you already have from, like, there's game developers that give explicit permission that people can record videos and can do what are called Let's Plays on YouTube. That, like, Deep Silver is one of the ones that keeps getting talked about. So they've given explicit permission that, yes, you can use our game footage for whatever. And now people are getting hit with this new content ID system because there's music in the background of the game that may have a different licensing structure. And so while they're playing through the game, the music might actually be owned by someone else or someone who may have a claim, but yet it can be used, and all you have to do is go in there and dispute it. The second problem that's come down the pipeline is now there's now a difference between affiliate. So we're talking about the big multi-channel networks, the MCNs. Mm-hmm. They have, in the past, protected people who joined their service from copyright claims. And this was one of the things that you would get from joining a multi-channel network, is that if someone had an issue with your video, they would basically have to write directly to the network instead of YouTube. And YouTube like this because if they were going to get sued, they would sue the multi-channel network before they would sue YouTube.
Yeah, it took liability off.
It took liability way off YouTube. It put it on the multi-channel network. Well, YouTube has noticed that a lot of people are offering the service, but they're not really holding up their end of the bargain. And so now they have classified channels who are under these multi-channel networks. So channels within the main big channel as either affiliate or managed. And if you are an affiliate channel, it means that you're probably a smaller channel, a younger channel, or a channel that's sort of been acting up. If you are a managed channel, you're one of the larger channels. You've probably handled your own copyright cases. You're probably up to speed on your books in terms of copyright claims. And you're probably a bigger personality and a bigger person than the smaller channels that just joined to kind of get this protection. So there was this, there was an article, I forget which one I was reading. I believe that I got to it via this VentureBeat article that I'm looking at right now, talking about, here we go, to crack down on affiliate channels. Then this was from TubeFilter. There we go. And so this was Maker Studios that sent out an email to their partners, their affiliates, letting them know that, hey, things are changing because now YouTube is branding your channel that's under our multi-channel as an affiliate channel instead of a managed channel. And another thing that happened at the same time is now you have basically a button that says, let's leave feedback about what this multi-channel network is doing, so that if you're having a hard time with a channel or with a large multi-channel that you joined, and now you are just you're banging on the walls trying to get some feedback, they're not managing your channel correctly. And I'm not saying that I'm not using Maker Studios as an example of this. I'm just saying that this could happen. Now you have a way to tell YouTube about this problem. So that has also come down the pipeline if you're now one of these new affiliate channels, which is basically a normal YouTube channel with whatever support the larger channel that you're associated the multi-channel network is giving you. So any of these channels that had been classified as part of a multi-channel network are now classified as affiliates, and all of their library of videos are now being churned through the content ID system, which they weren't before, and they're getting thousands, hundreds upon thousands of flags all at once saying that all of these videos match content ID and that every single one of these videos they need to make sure to submit their content ID information, which
I think
people freaked out.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem of this is not, I can see the reasoning for the system. I think the biggest mistake was making it retroactive.
Right.
Because there were companies who had given permission. I remember when YouTube had a deal with like Universal and a few other music companies for like 3 years that people could use the music. So when those things expire, if I use 20 of those songs, you're going to go back and punish me for your deal going sour. And that seems to be the thing that got people so upset, is that they went back to their catalog. If this was forward on, people may have done things differently to protect themselves. But it's just, some people got hundreds and hundreds of videos. And of course, the blow up is that, oh my God, I make a living off this. Now you just put me out of a job. I'm unemployed.
Right.
What do I do?
Right.
And so what did the gaming companies do? Because it seems like, well, people put blame on the gaming companies.
Right.
Like Ubisoft,
Blizzard, Capcom,
Blizzard, and all of them, because that's just a natural reaction. Why are you claiming my videos? Turns out that wasn't the case.
Right, and there
A lot of them didn't know about it.
Right. They didn't know about it. They thought everything was in the clear. And they're offering suggestions for them to say, please dispute this. If you need, here are a few tips. You know, this isn't what we intended is basically what they're saying. And YouTube is not giving many specifics. They're just saying, go ahead and use the content ID system how it was intended. If you feel like this is wrong, you can submit what you have normally done as ever. Just dispute the content ID claim if you believe it's invalid.
Here's the fun part. If you dispute and lose, you get a strike against your account.
Yep.
And if you get three strikes, you're out. They will close your account.
Right.
So that's what people are afraid of. But further on in the week, we realized that these game companies had nothing to do with this. They're just as pissed because they're losing revenue as well.
Right.
So I think with them auto-approving all of them, that this will blow over, at least for the storm that happened in the last 7 days or so.
Right. The thing that kind of leaves people shaking is that this happened. If you were one of the type of people who got 1,000 videos hit all at once, all 1,000 of those videos will not generate revenue until you've gone through and disputed each one of those. So if you just go, I'm not going to dispute it because I don't want to get strikes on my channel, all of a sudden you have 1,000 videos, you know, theoretically, you have 1,000 videos that aren't making money anymore, which is a really big deal. The other thing that has left people kind of going like in shock and awe is that this happened so fast without their input. But you and I know that's the world of YouTube. They change their rules and you either go along with them or you get out.
And then you have the other party who were like, okay, so these kids, these punks, so are making money off video games and now they're crying about a boo-hoo. And I don't know, there was a lot of videos responding to that because it does sound insensitive. But, you know, maybe we could talk about that because on one end, I see their point of view. This is their living. A lot of them quit their jobs. They found out they could do this full-time.
They're betting on this. They're betting on this as the future.
But what's the – and, I mean, you did a video on this, which was very brave of you. My thought process was, after all this gets sorted out, guys, I wouldn't say it to them now. But after it gets sorted out, maybe you want to look at not having all your eggs in one basket because of this problem. Maybe you want to look at making, you know, monetizing in another way or putting brand, you know, doing direct deals. Go ahead, explain.
That's exactly what I was saying, too, is boo, like, you got into this not realizing that you are building a business off of what other people consider their work. And so I made a video called YouTube Money Alternatives. Maybe I should have used a better title. But basically, you need to make sure that everything is accounted for before you go into a business. This is a business deal. You are running a business as an entertainer. And I've been wanting to touch on advertisements for forever. And so I kind of did that in this video. Me and you, in the very beginning, I mean, this has been like 2 months old. I said I was turning off all ad monetization on YouTube. And part of it was because I didn't want to get addicted to the YouTube money. I wanted to be able to build some other way of creating revenue that I didn't rely on YouTube. I didn't rely on AdSense. I didn't rely on any of it. The other reason is because I hate YouTube ads. I hate pre-roll. I hate sidebar ads. I hate those overlay things. I hate YouTube ads. And I think anyone watching our videos also hates those ads. And this video that I did was basically to say there's other ways for people to make money, and they've been doing it forever. Do you know, selling things at your own store. Do donation drives, do maybe crowdfunding, do live events if you're large enough, if you have a large enough following. Try to contract yourself out by doing promotional deals with products that you believe in. You're getting a double me making mad faces at you.
Yeah, and the only problem with your argument is that it is very easy to say that, and for someone big or growing in size, then they can do that. But if it's just some kid starting out, I mean, that's all he has. I mean,
I am a kid starting out, and I would have never.
No, you're an adult. You're an adult with a job. You have a backup.
But I think so the story. So let's think of the high schooler who wants to do this as a job. You're living at home with your parents already. Like, you're fine. The only thing is, like, a college student who's just leaving college, and I would still make the argument that you need to mind your business. You need to make sure that you are sheltered for anything that happens.
But how many of them are taught this in their high school? I mean, I'm a former teacher. We can go way back here. Like, how many of them are taught this you know, finance in school at all?
No one.
So I'm not making excuses for anybody. I watched a lot of those videos of people complaining, and a lot of them were justified. My thought was, hey, now that you know that this can happen, don't ever let it happen again to you when you're shaking and wondering, where is my next meal going to come from in a couple months when, you know, I don't get an AdSense check or it's 80% less than it was.
Right.
I think.
The one thing I
regret is over. I think I really do.
Yeah. The one thing I do regret in the video is I said that it's lazy for you to only hit monetize and then move on. I kind of regret saying that, but in the moment, that's kind of how I felt. It's like that's all you're gonna do. Like, I can't feel sorry for you. That was your whole strategy, was to build a business only off of what YouTube gave you, because once YouTube stops giving it to you, you're screwed.
And I agree with you. The main thing is that there isn't any educational information out there from YouTube to say, hey, here are some alternatives.
It's because they don't want to do that.
Well, of course. And a lot of the networks don't do it.
They don't want to do that either. I mean, unless if they're coming to you and saying, here's a deal that we worked out and we get 50%.
Right. Yeah, because it has to be in their interest. See, a network still wants you to be a YouTuber. Yeah. There's very few networks who are working to get people off of YouTube and maybe on TV or other things as hosts. I mean, it's rare. You can find those networks and those people. But in general, they want you to stay in that YouTube bubble. And you got to be smart about it. I just, I did feel for those people. Once I watched the videos of Boogie and the Angry Joe, and some of these other people, once I watched, you know, you have to feel some empathy for them. I hope they learn now that they're vulnerable. Because gaming seemed to be invincible. Who's number one on YouTube? A gaming channel. Who doesn't YouTube like to be number one? Gaming channels.
Right. They're going to try to fix their algorithm to make that stop.
Yeah. Don't think this was an accident done by YouTube. They don't like gaming channels at the top. So this was a blatant wake-up call for gamers to, hey, you may need to do some alternate. You may learn how to vlog or do something else where you can put some product placement in. I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen this happen for a while.
And truly, if you're just starting out, I would say I am very glad that I stopped monetizing, because I am not expecting a $200 check every 4 months or whatever it is. Like, I'm not worried about that cash. I haven't gotten addicted to that revenue stream yet, and I can try to think creatively. And the biggest thing for me is I think that by me not doing that, I'm going to make a better product for everyone. You don't have to sit through the ads at the top of the show. Mm-hmm. You can get an ad experience that I control, that YouTube doesn't control. And that might be the wrong thing. That in 3 months, when I get a billion subscribers, I might say, this was a dumb idea. Now that I'm here, let's turn back on those AdSense ads. I will comp to that. So that's a discussion.
Right. Yeah. Wow. I do wish the gamers well. I have no ill will against any of them. It's a shame it happened. And it could happen to any of us. So
yeah, and I would say use YouTube as a platform. And then there's talks in the chat about, you know, like you were just saying from a web user, you were just saying that you were praise people who made money off YouTube. I want you to use YouTube as the platform for you to reach an audience, just like you use a stage in a theater as a platform for you to reach an audience. And lots of people will expect a paycheck from that theater. But if you're a self-employed entrepreneur, like a performer, you should have multiple streams of revenue, and that shouldn't be your only gig.
I mean, I would honestly say that is not necessarily my target audience, but I went out there to impress, to show, hey, this guy is cool. I didn't get paid for that for this weekend, but I went out. I mean, it was marketing, and it worked. A lot of people came out to me afterwards and want to do stuff. So you're right. It was perfect example.
I think there's a story that Jay Leno makes almost no money from the TV show. He makes all his money from live events. That sort of thing. Like that's what I'm getting at. Okay, so enough about this. Let's talk about 2 months ago, I set the goal for myself by the end of 2013, I would have 10,000 subscribers. Well, we are 2 weeks away, and I can pretty confidently say that probably not going to happen. But it was a goal, and I missed the goal, which is fine. You learn. I would say more people who are successful fail more often than they actually succeed, and we've learned, or I've learned something from it.
Can I give a suggestion thought on this?
Yeah, yeah.
I never said it to you because I really wanted to see where you were going to go with this.
Uh-huh.
I think making goals of subscribers has never really worked for anyone.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to damage your
idea.
Your idea. But I think it's the wrong. Don't get me wrong. Your heart is in the right place. It really is. I think it's the wrong metric.
There was something
because you can't control. See, what I learned from 5 years on YouTube is that's a number I have no control over. I don't. I mean, unless I buy subscribers, which I would never do. I literally have no control over that. I just have to focus on getting that content right. I see why you did it, because we need something to shoot for, whether it's 1,000 likes per video, whether it's 10 subscribers a day. I mean, I get what you were doing. You didn't do it wrong. It's been proven just by different people that number of subscribers does not indicate whether you're successful on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's damn good people at 80,000 subscribers who should be number one because they just have not been discovered, but they do stuff way better than people who are at the top. And so it's just, and a lot of them make more money. I know some who are 200,000-300,000 subscribers, they're making more money than these top channels at 15 million or a little bit less, because they're like you talked about, they know how to monetize a lot better. They do live appearances and all that. So I don't know. I don't know what is the right answer. And maybe we can keep discussing that.
Yeah. One thing that I found is I almost regretted it from the very beginning is because I wanted that really superficial number instead of a really good engaged audience. And I almost started fighting back against it right from the top, because I realized that there were a few things that I could try to do to really get a massive audience, but, and I would enjoy that massive audience, but I think that I would enjoy better a smaller audience that truly gets me and that continuously shows up and that is continuously there talking, instead of a kind of superficial audience. And so I kind of had my own sort of realization that maybe I don't want to just become big. I want a hardcore audience that I can talk to and that gets what I'm doing and then doesn't mind that I'm doing vlogs and Let's Plays and everything on the same channel.
No, and the thing is, you got a good – I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. And I already told you this. You have an excellent mix there. I am personally not crazy about Minecraft, but I respect that you do it because I like your other stuff.
Mm.
And it takes balls to put gaming and vlogging and whatever you want to talk about on one channel. And a lot of people are scared of doing it. A lot of big YouTubers that I talk to wish they can go back and do that versus managing all these separate channels because it's a lot easier. And if people don't want to watch your Minecraft, they can just skip it. But, you know, they don't have to worry about two, three, or four different channels to have to watch. So someone in a chat asked, well, how do you gain subscribers? And there's no complete answer, but a big one is collaboration. It really is. And
this is
you collab with your own number, then you grow up from there. So if you have 5,000, someone else has 4,000 to 5,000, collaborate with them because you could gain quite a bit from them. I used to almost turn down those, like when the network would give me, hey, someone has 5,000. And I'm like, how's that going to help? But I was thinking wrong. If 5,000 subscribers, that's a pretty loyal group, and they were getting almost 4,000 to 5,000 views. If they say, hey, go subscribe to my buddy Lamar, that may be more than I get than when I do a collab with Justine.
Yeah.
Where I might only get 2,000 or 3,000.
And I was thinking that's the type of audience that I want. I don't want 10,000 subscribers that only watch give my videos 1,000 views, because only 1,000 of them are really real.
Absolutely.
I want 500 really dedicated people that actually watch and comment and will be around to have a conversation. The thing that this solidified was collab. I have my Social Blade up right here, and there's a few bumps, and this one, here, I'm going to zoom back out. Brian may have to zoom in. There's a few jumps. This hump right here was for MindCon, where I interviewed a lot of Minecrafters, and each one of those videos was a collab video. You can see that it jumps right here in the daily amount of views as well. That's when I got the highest peak of daily views. So basically, this was a collab a day for this week. So that definitely gave me a huge bump. The next bumps include doing videos with other really large YouTubers. Around here is when around Thanksgiving we did a pizza spleef video, which the total number of subscribers in that video was around 9 million for the other users. Right. We had 5 people in that, and I was definitely the smallest at close to 3,000 or 3,500-ish, something like that. And so that was the next bump in subscribers. And other than that, it feel like it was a pretty normal tick, as you can see in the graph, is that but once you get sort of that momentum, there is a very, very good sort of forward feeling whenever you get any of those big bumps. Another person that here, let me go find this person. I've been keeping a close eye on and is a good friend is Aurelian. She makes Minecraft videos as well. And I kept basically keeping an eye on what she was doing because she was doing basically what I'm doing. She's doing a lot of Minecraft videos. She has a few things, and then she's focusing very much on collaboration. So if I go over to Social Blade, type in her account, and then check the monthly statistics. And by the way, Social Blade, if you want kind of a better look about numbers and stuff, Social Blade, I feel, does it very, very well. And so on her monthly graph, she has just about the same sort of idea of multiple bumps here where she got big subscriber jumps. Here she got around 3,000 subscribers in one day from one of these collaboration videos. And you can see this huge uptick in subscribers right here. She, for the month of December, has been doing a video a day with another person, which she is calling, I forgot what she's calling it, a very parkour Christmas, where she will play a parkour game. And you can see number one right there is with me, OMG Chad. So December 1st was the first one she did was with me. And
real quick, can you zoom into her face?
Meow.
I'm chopped.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's why she's getting...
Of course she is. But yes, of course. She's a very nice-looking lady. Yes,
and
absolutely.
She's a girl gamer, yeah.
Yeah. But
I think you're spending too much time on numbers, man. I really do.
No, I mean she. You can see what her statistics that they were not huge. Right. And through collaboration, she's been able to bump them up. So throughout all of this, it is more and more apparent that collaboration.
Absolutely.
is the best way. Yeah,
I agree with you. I just what I wish for you in the future, and I still want to work with you and talk and chat with you, just because the show is over. Don't think you're getting out of this friendship.
I won't. No.
I really want you to, as I've been doing, try to focus less on numbers. And trust me, it's hard. I'm addicted to them as well. But try to, you know, like do some. I mean, here's the thing. One thing I will say about Minecraft is that I've seen. Is that it seems like everybody's thumbnails look the same. Everybody's doing the same thing. And how can Chad stand out from that group? What what can you do different? How can you leverage this Twit audience? You're on several shows. You have a massive Twit audience at your disposal that Ariella, whatever her name is, does not have. Mm-hmm. How can you make something so unique or so cool that it will leverage? Mm-hmm. Leverage what you have. I mean, you know, because I look at Minecraft. I would not know yours in a list. They're right. Just all in a row. I said the same thing for Call of Duty. I'm not picking on Minecraft.
Right.
Same thing for Call of Duty videos.
Gameplay videos. They almost all look the same.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm not sitting here saying I have the answers. You know, my views aren't fantastic. I just know I've been trying to transition to a more personality based channel. I am not the best news person. I'm not the best resource for tech, but you're gonna enjoy it because you're gonna see my happiness and I'm gonna have fun. And I don't know, it's just that's contagious. And your personality is contagious. People just gotta know about it.
Thanks.
And so figure out how to get Twit on board. I mean you got the Minecraft show, but I don't know, threaten them or something.
I will leave this network.
Yeah, will leave if they don't start watching and supporting you.
Yeah, yeah. So throughout all of this, the biggest thing that I learned was collaboration is king. If you do want to do this, and creativity is king. Like what you're saying, you know, do something that no one's done before or that no one's thought of before. Because when you are doing the same thing everyone else has always done. No one's excited about that, and truly, I'm not really excited about it. So do what excites you, and the daily work for trying to get this to happen has been astoundingly large. There's so much work when it comes.
People don't realize it. They say, "Oh, you all just do videos." It's not. It's so much.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing construction. I agree.
Yeah.
I
you're right.
I don't do the physical labor, but. The mental labor and stress that goes with it can be just as mentally damaging to you. So you can't compare the two jobs.
Yeah.
You know, we work, it's here working in social media. Don't you feel like you're working 24/7?
I mean,
if I'm answering tweets and messages all throughout the night, I'm still working.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Stress.
Yep. Yep. And editing for 3 hours is never fun.
God.
So anyway,
no.
Any other tips? This is you know last time me and you will be able to give tips to people for their YouTube careers.
The only tip I can give is from where I am now. I'm in a much better place now than I was when the show started.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even though it doesn't sound like it, sorry for the voice. Man, the greatest tip I can give is just. I have such a feeling of release now because I'm not worrying, and worrying is something that will cause you to stay sick, like I've been. You know, it'll cause physical health problems. It'll cause you to never grow because you can't let go of the past.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let go of this happened to me, and I kept doing that to myself. I kept saying, I was in this network and this went bad, or I tried this. Tech show and it went bad. I don't want to do it again. And if I do it, what's going to happen? You know, it's too much. The answer was so simple. Do me. Do what I enjoy, and but people say that, but I really had to ingest it. I really had to do what Lamar enjoys, and now I just, it's a cloud that's been lifted. I just finally stopped worrying about what's going to happen in the future or what I did wrong in the past. I can't control either.
Yeah.
All I control is what I do right now. And it's amazing. That kind of joy that you have, it's not like a preacher here. That kind of joy, Lord. No, that kind of joy that you have, it's amazing how it transforms to the audience. You won't see it, you know, necessarily, but you'll see them much more engaged, or they'll say, man, you were awesome in that video. They can just, you know, people who are happy, it's super contagious. And I've been studying human nature for quite a while, and that's why so many people are more viral. That's why you got a gamer like Angry Joe, and I've never watched him before until this incident with the content ID. He interests me now because he's passionate. I think he's so... Anybody can do gaming videos, but he stood out. He decided to be the angry rant guy, but he's also funny. Mm-hmm. He stood out the pack and used his own personality, and people drew to that. I don't want... You know, and that's what I'm learning for myself. It's easy to say. It does take a lot of work, but once you do it, it's a feeling of utopia, and I think I'm going to fly in 2014, and I know you will, Chad, because you have the right heart, you got the right attitude, and you're so much different than you were when we started the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I wish nothing but the best for you. I really have been impressed with you, little guy.
Thank you.
You're the same size as me.
If I had to give advice, the two pieces of advice that have always stuck with me is one, if you are trying to copy someone, you will always be second best. So be yourself. Ooh, if you're trying to be the next Joey Gaffica, I don't know why you would be, or the next PewDiePie, they are always going to be better at being PewDiePie than you will be because they actually are. So just be yourself. There's no reason you should ever copy anyone. Second piece of advice is you do have to be bad before you're good. No one has started a project or career or a job or any creative pursuit and been wonderful at it from the beginning. You hear stories about that, but I don't believe them. And so... You will start off, and I look at what I did 2 months ago, and I go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And so it's a growing process, and don't get discouraged, because you will most likely be bad in the beginning, but so was everyone else. Those are two pieces of advice I'd give. Thank you.
I love that. I love that so much.
We have a few people to thank. Thank you, Twit. Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Lisa, for making this show happen. I want to thank Anthony Nielsen, who's been the normal TD, and Brian Burnett for filling in for Anthony when he was not here on our last show. What the heck? Before we go into hiatus. Oh, it's his birthday. Yeah. Come on. Should have been here. Anyway.
I had my birthday off.
Right. anything else we got to do before we head out?
I would say I was trying to think of what resources people can have. I mean, just, you know, going past it, like what if this show never existed again? What where could they go?
Amy Schmittauer.
I mean, there's a lot of people. I will still talk about. I mean, especially for my new show that I'm retooling. I definitely still talk about YouTube. Because it's the platform that I'm on. I don't know. I'm confident Twit will make something. Twit cannot ignore, and they won't.
And I won't.
Video or YouTube. It's too big of a monster. So I think the hiatus will be relatively short. I recommended a couple people to keep the show going. I think it should go on.
Yeah. And we'll see in 2014. God, that's a weird thing to say. Also, thanks to Theater Monkey, who's always done our show notes in the wiki.
Those are really awesome. I really appreciate those.
Yes. And anyone else in the chat room, thank you.
The people who watched this.
For watching.
It wasn't a big audience, but it was a good audience. It really was. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People came, you know, Chad, even when we changed our days, You know, a lot still support it. Some are just always here supporting. They'll watch the live show, and they'll watch the video, or they'll comment on the video. And we got some awesome people who are here. Appreciate that.
Peace out. We will see you later when you watch old episodes of this show.
Watch our reruns.
Yep.
We can pay our reruns. No, we don't.
All right,
bye.
Bye.